Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Trisha, Eric Reinert, and Kathleen, both behind the glass. And, we got a call already.
Well, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Christmas tree lighting pre-show. Of course, we'll be out at the outlets of Anthem this evening with all the amazing talent, including the artist behind this wonderful song, Broken. Isn't that a great song?
Oh, she's got the most incredible voice. It's so clear and beautiful.
And, of course, her name is Maggie Rose. Joining us, thank you so much, Maggie.
Hi, guys.
Hey, we're so excited to have you on right now. Of course, you're going to be out at the outlets at Anthem tonight. Is it 5:30?
Yes.
Very good. And will you be singing this song, Broken?
We might now have to add it because you guys are playing it. It's a great song for the holiday season because it's one that I didn't write that long ago, but it's just kind of about how we all have our past, and we all come from different trials and tribulations, but we put the pieces back together. And I think that, you know, especially with everything going on right now and holidays coming around, it's something that a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, and it is a great song. Did you write it?
I did.
Amazing.
Yes, I wrote it with two of my friends in Nashville, Corey Crowder and Patrick Davis, and it was just one of those writes where we all kind of went in and didn't really have like a title or a specific idea in mind, but we all were in this certain state and sort of a cloudy day, and we wanted to make something beautiful.
Oh, it definitely is beautiful.
I was going to say, you succeeded on that one. You have such beautiful clarity in your voice, and the words are just so meaningful. I love it.
Thank you.
And so, of course, if anyone's just now joining us, we are speaking with Maggie Rose. It's ahead of her performance tonight at the Outlets at Anthem Christmas Tree Lighting. And so give us a preview of tonight's set for you.
Well, I'm very excited to be playing with JoJo. She's someone that I've always loved listening to. And, I mean, talk about a voice. Her voice is insane. She's cool R&B influences and definitely more pop, and I got my start in country music, so I released an album to the three singles to country radio in 2013 and had some success with it, but you know, it's not really like the most female friendly climate, and I grew up in DC, so I listened to everything, and now tonight's going to be one of those opportunities for me where I'm going to get to play a lot of the new sort of pop music that I've been working on, and I'm excited to be in front of an audience, you know, like the one that will be there tonight who's listened to more pop music and debut some of these songs.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some from the first album that I released in 2013, but I'm also going to do one Christmas tune for you and some new stuff that I've been working on.
Exciting. You know, several years ago, it is such a great platform, the Outlets at Anthem Christmas Tree Lighting. Several years ago, I was covering the lighting for a local newspaper, and the headliner that, or I don't even know if it was the headliner, it was, I think it was like an opening act, was a woman named Taylor Swift.
Oh,
and this was before she was Taylor Swift, and it was amazing.
She was always Taylor Swift, Joseph.
I know.
Just
but
that people hadn't recognized her talent yet.
I had a front row seat, and you know, so now you can't get tickets to a Taylor Swift concert. So, and much less get an interview with her. And right now, we are speaking with Maggie Rose, and you know, one day, very soon, you're not going to be able to get a ticket to a Maggie Rose concert. And tonight, you can see her for free.
Playing at the outlets. I mean, that's what you need to do. That's the stepping stone to get to Taylor Swift status. So,
I think they're gonna. They say they may have 20,000 people there. That's gonna be.
Well, I remember
really
it was
cool.
It was basically elbow to elbow people by the end of it last year as well. But you know, Maggie, I see. Talk about a jet setter. My goodness, after you're doing the Outlets at the Anthem, you're going to head back and do a show in Nashville, and then you're headed over to Hawaii.
I'm going to Hawaii. I know, right? What a terrible job.
Well, you know. But it just shows the breadth of your fans and people who love your music. This is exciting.
It's very exciting. And this year I've been able to kind of explore, you know, writing new styles of music. And I write for myself and other artists as well in pop and country. And this event that I'm doing in Hawaii is more focused on the songwriting aspect. It's hosted by BMI, which is PRO that, like, any songwriter is either with, you know, BMI or ASCAP or CSAC. And they got a really great group of writers together and invited me to be part of this panel, I guess you could call it. But it's kind of cool to be coming into my own as a writer, because when I first moved to Nashville, I was 19. I've had a lot of growth as far as being confident in what I have to say and structuring a song. So it's cool to just go do something where I'm just showcasing the songwriting. So they're not all necessarily even going to be songs that are intended for my project, but maybe songs that I've written for other artists, because I write a few songs from the male perspective, because sometimes I feel like I can tap into that side of things. Like, if you could just understand, guys, this is what we want you to say. But it's pretty fun. It's been cool to sort of explore those areas of music, and it's taking me all over the place, like Hawaii.
Which is a lot of fun. Do you get to have much fun there, even though you're working?
I always have fun.
Oh, see, that's the great attitude. Let me ask you this. As a performer, does it matter to you how many people are in the audience, or are you just sort of zoned into what you're doing that it really doesn't matter if there's, 50,000 or 500?
I mean, I certainly feed off the audience's energy, and I think that's what makes performing so addicting, is kind of seeing people who were strangers when you started the show connect with you. And the number, at a certain point, the number in the audience doesn't really matter. It's just more about the moment. And there's certain venues, like playing today with the caliber of artists that I'm playing with makes me want to step my game up and gives me a few butterflies, or playing the Ryman in Nashville or the Opry. I mean, those places and stages are so sacred. That stuff makes me nervous. But, I think that you need to find what motivates you as a performer, and it can't be, oh, well, I'm playing in a hole-in-the-wall bar tonight, so I'm going to give it a B performance. I think you need to just always find, like, that center that makes you want to give your best show every time.
Absolutely. And if anyone is just now joining us, we are speaking with Maggie Rose ahead of her great performance tonight at the Outlets Anthem Christmas Tree Lighting. We're honored to have you on right now. And speaking of what motivates you, aside from the audience's energy, Maggie, what else inspires you? What drives you, your creative energy?
I mean, not to sound too much like a hippie, but it's like the connection that music brings people. And the writing side of music is something that I've always done, but I've really fallen in love with it in the last couple years, because you can go into a room, like, I'll do co-writes, and sometimes I'll write with people I've never met before, and it's kind of awkward to just go into a room and be like, all right, let's throw our guts out and talk about, you know, someone who broke our heart or our deepest, darkest secrets. But you find that common ground, and then all of a sudden you're not strangers with that person anymore. And I think the same thing applies to, you know, live performances. That's why people go to concerts, because you feel connected on, like, a big level with everyone that's there because of what's being played and what you're listening to. And that's a big motivator for me. And also, I've always loved singing. Just the act of singing is something I've done since a kid. And I was a kid, and I have a really great band, and they're not just guns for hire. They're people who I really depend on to help me realize the vision and everything. And, you know, my family is super supportive, and I've got a really great fiance who's really appreciates the creative side of things. And it's sort of like there's no other option but to continue making music.
Well, you know, I think that really comes through, that this is truly your passion. It's amazing, though. I mean, you're beautiful on the inside and out. And I'm sure that, you know, can cause some problems. But do you ever find that people don't take you as seriously because you're a beautiful woman as well?
That's a very big compliment and a question. I think that that's something women just struggle with. I mean, if I can be totally candid, like in Nashville, one of the things, like talking about what motivates me and how do I remain inspired, it's just not the most encouraging place in some formats when you talk about getting a country single played on the radio. So you're kind of like, well, what's my end goal? And if, you know, women aren't really succeeding in this format, don't we continue making music and there's a market for people out there? And I think that it's just realizing that people will make snap judgments about you, and you just need to acknowledge that they don't fully understand you or know you. Just because they're making that judgment doesn't mean that it's true, and I don't want to like internalize those things that I know people kind of might initially think sometimes if they're ignorant.
No, that makes total sense, and that's a very mature way of thinking about it. I was reading your bio.
It took a few years. I've been in Nashville 8 years. So
yeah.
I mean,
but still, you know, but most people never get that concept, and that's something that's inspiring, what you just said. And, you know, I was reading your bio, and I like what you have here. It says there was never a plan B. I mean, you were fully committed. And how that had to help your career to be, maybe had doubts, maybe didn't, but when you have no plan B and you're fully committed, to me that means there's no other option. You will be in this industry. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is rooted in, you know, my family. Like, I was at Clemson University in South Carolina in the middle of my sophomore year, and I got this undeniable opportunity to move to Nashville. And, you know, I didn't just, like, sling a guitar over my back and be like, I'm going. I had the plan that's sort of laid out. But, you know, my mom came and picked me up and packed my car up and drove me back to Maryland from South Carolina, and then the next week I was looking for a place to live in Nashville, and it was just their all-in mentality after my poor mom and dad had invested however much they did in my college education that was never finished. But, you know, they trusted me and my instincts, and it also wasn't a surprise to them that this is what I wanted to do, because they made it pretty clear from the time that I was very young. And having that sort of like unconditional support made it easy for me to just be like, of course there's no alternative. And what I've sort of realized now in the last year, getting to, I'm producing this band's album, they're called the Morrison Brothers, and they're this awesome southern rock band, and you know, them entrusting me in the, you know, in my 20s and a female who's never produced anyone else's work but my own to do their album is really cool. So that's another way that, you know, I'll just be able to have longevity in music. If it doesn't mean that I'm behind the mic, I'm still going to be able to be creative. And just keeping lots of irons in the fire like that and staying inspired also makes me reinvigorated for performing and writing, because I'm kind of alternating between all these different things that are musical, but they require different parts of my brain and energy to do.
Well, so, and that even more shows how you are just like the whole package, because you were talking about writing for male singers from a male perspective. You write your own songs. You're doing more crossover now between country and pop. You're producing. My goodness, girl, and you're young. It's amazing.
I like to be busy. I'm tired, I'm not going to lie, but it's good. I am. Do you guys know Dallas Davidson, the songwriter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I write for him. He's my publisher.
Oh.
And I mean, admittedly, I think he's a misunderstood songwriter. He's so incredibly talented. And we initially started working together because he was going to co-produce my second studio country album, which I was making probably a year and a half ago. And just the way that country radio is super political, and just a few things didn't pan out, and I decided that I wanted to kind of collect my thoughts and really just create for a little bit. And he's a huge patron of the arts, and he started this publishing company, and has just sort of given me free rein to do whatever. And that's what stemmed like all this different music stemmed from. It was him just kind of being like, do whatever you want, like go produce, write pop, do this, whatever makes you happy, just get out of the box that you've been in for a little bit.
That's and, true. And
he, although he's like a super talented songwriter, he's 22 number one in country. He's always had this desire to be an artist himself. I mean, he's never really seen the right scenario for him to actually go pursue that. But now that he's a dad and he's got all these number ones under his belt, he's like, okay, I'm going to make this project. And it's a one-time thing, and he's doing it with Manny Fresh from Cash Money. And I helped him write one of the songs that's going to be like the first single from his project. And I'm featured on it with him, Manny Fresh, and Big Boy from Outkast.
Sweet.
And yeah, it's really cool. And it's so unifying to talk about like different four corners, Manny Fresh and Dallas and Big Boy and I.
Talent
I would
is
not
talent,
foresee us
right?
being in a room together.
Oh, but that sounds like it's going to be a cool project. I mean,
very
to have
cool.
that kind of mix of artists from various genres and to see you guys
yeah.
come together, that'll be awesome.
I'm so excited. It sounds really cool, and I think there's something in that song for everyone. And yeah. Sort of like my mission statement right now is the genre blurring the lines of, you know, we don't have to commit to one type of music. I think artists should be dynamic and they should be flexible. And this has been a really cool opportunity for us to all kind of stretch a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I think that passionate, creative, artistic people are actually put into these boxes, whether it be by society or expectations and things like that. And right now you're busting out of that box and you're helping others to do that. And like you said, having a mission statement of blurring those genres, I think that's incredible. Because you know what, I don't want to have I flip stations on the radio all the time, because there's times I want to hear a show like ours where it's talking about different things. There's times I want to see it, listen to a certain genre, but I don't want to, I like it mixed, like a mixtape, you know, back in the
well,
day.
Well, just like anything in your life. I mean, you have many, many interests just in everyday things that you do. And I think that applies to music. Like we're the iPod generation and, you know, if you look at, go to a crazy country festival and look at someone's phone, you'll see music from all different genres. Go to Coachella, you'll see the same thing. I mean, it's there's so much out there that's available now that, like, it's only natural that the listener or the consumer is going to have more diverse tastes. And I think artists should be always pushing themselves and challenging themselves to be diverse themselves. But there's also, like, a focus that should be there and a level of consistency. Like you should always maintain your vocal ID. And I want every song that I release, regardless if it's EDM or pop or super country, to still have that common thread throughout, which that's kind of the challenge for me. And it's a fun challenge, but you know, it's going to come with the territory of making all sorts of music.
Yeah, yeah, and we want to make sure that our listeners know where to find your music. Of course, you can see Maggie Rose in person tonight performing at the Outlets at Anthem Christmas Tree Lighting. We really hope that everyone is out there enjoying your music live, or they can check us out on Meerkat at Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be trying to broadcast that as well.
And Maggie's on Periscope, too.
Oh, exciting.
I am.
Yeah,
where can
I like
we find
it.
You on Periscope?
It is I Am Maggie Rose. Everything, Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope is all under I Am Maggie Rose.
Fantastic.
And I'm actually putting an EP out at the very beginning of 2016, because part of this whole experiment that I've been doing of making a lot of different music started the beginning of last summer. There's this dude who's a radio consultant named Keith Hill, who compared women in country radio to tomatoes in a salad. I don't know if you guys heard this. In Nashville, we called it Salad Gate.
Wow.
And he's actually a really great guy. I think he had an unguarded moment in an industry setting, and it got picked up and put in the Washington Post. So out of context, I think a lot of women were women performers were kind of mad to be compared to tomatoes and salad, like the accent, whereas the men were the bulk of the salad, the lettuce.
Well, my favorite part is the tomatoes.
And I like tomatoes, too.
I mean,
but
exactly.
That's not
they're
the
delicious
point.
Yeah. And of more course. Nutritious for you. But
yes.
And I don't think the men like to be compared to lettuce, either, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, I actually called Keith when this all came out because people were just angry at him. And I was like, you know what? He's actually starting a conversation. And he's sort of provided us a half-cocked analogy that he, if he could revisit and had known how much exposure would have gotten, probably would have, like, fine-tuned a bit. But he was just simply the messenger of the stats, which are when country radio listeners listen to radio and they hear women back-to-back, they tune out. It's not Keith's personal opinion. It's not an agenda he's pushing. He was just reporting the facts. So I was like, okay, this is not, you know, I'm not pleased that this is the truth, but I have all this music that I've been working on up to that point. This is right around Memorial Day. And I was like, I could release a different song every summer with all the music I've stockpiled, and I'll call it Tomato Tuesday, and I'll release a new song every Tuesday. And I wrote this big statement that this is not really like the sort of thing that I've ever done, but I was just like, this is why I'm doing this. It was sort of a calling. I wanted to kind of energize my peers and be like, don't stop creating music because you don't get airplay on your country radio station. Keep making music and keep sharing it in all these different outlets. So I put a song on SoundCloud, and they're still up there every Tuesday. And I sort of prepped the audience. I was like, not all of these are country. Trust me, some of these are the opposite of country. But I'm making music. I want you guys to know what I've been up to. And I'm not getting discouraged, so please don't get discouraged yourselves. And it was awesome. Like, the response from people was crazy. And, like, Broken was one of the songs that we put a song on SoundCloud for, and we also shot a video for it the 30th time I played at the Opry. I just had one of my friends, who's a videographer, kind of shadow me the entire night, and it just became this thing where every Tuesday I looked forward to, like, okay, what am I going to freak them out with next week? And it sort of led to me wanting to compile some of people's favorites and put an EP out at the beginning of the year. And I'm asking everyone who's checked out the songs to kind of give me their favorites so they can help A&R the process and put my EP together for me. And then the feature with Manny Fresh and Dallas and Big Boy will follow, and then I'll have a full LP out later, 2016.
Wow, Maggie, I got to compliment you. You not only a great talent, you're a great leader, and I really honor that in you.
Well, thank you. I didn't set out to be, or I don't really feel like one. I think there's a lot of people in Nashville who are doing pretty amazing things that are just you know, starting to kind of get the exposure they deserve because. And I'm not knocking what's on country radio. I think there's a lot of great things on there, but I think there's a lot that remains to be discovered in Nashville, and Nashville is definitely not just country. There's all sorts of music being made there.
Excellent. So, well, you know, it's been such an honor to speak with you, Maggie Rose. Everyone, check out Maggie Rose tonight at the Outlets at Anthem Christmas Tree Lighting. I'm sure there'll be a meet and greet. And,
absolutely.
And so all your fans will be out there just, you know, loving the music and getting to say hi and getting some autographs. So, Maggie, thank you so much. And we'd love you to stop by our booth as well. We'll be out there tonight as well.
And absolutely. I am Maggie Rose, right?
Yeah. I am Maggie Rose.
Yes.
Excellent. Maggie, thank you so much. Best of luck tonight.
All right. Great to talk to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And of course, this is Maggie Rose singing Same Sky.
Same Sky, and we'll be right back after this break.